And so here's what we're doing. Remember that this morning, we're on a series. And we're, 2 weeks away from the greatest celebration day or calendar day in Christianity, and that, of course, is Resurrection Sunday. So when we finished 2 Thessalonians, as you know, we teach through the Word of God here, we decided, let's do a series and a march to the cross, if you will, or following the Lord to the cross. And then after Resurrection Sunday, we'll either begin 1 Timothy or maybe the Gospel of Mark, or I'm still praying, the book of Revelation. So only the Lord knows, but I'll know by then. So as we continue this series, remember we're looking at the cross in the heart of our Lord and His passion. You know, a lot of people in the church, we don't understand the passion of Christ. You know, the passion of Christ is from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross. Amen? Now, but when we think of the word passion, we get confused because, when we think of passion in modern usage, it is a strong, incredible emotion and that intensity, but it comes and goes. That's not the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, the word there, when we think of biblical passion, it means literally that Jesus is taken from a Latin word, by the way. It means to endure and to go and suffer. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted to do. Remember? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I must do the works of Him who called me while it's still day. And then in Matthew's gospel, it says in 16:21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Must, a divine must. I have to go. I want to go and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, scribes, be killed and raised on the third day. Are you in the Song of Solomon? Let me read to you this morning, beginning in verse 2. This is the Shulamite, okay, the wife of Solomon. She says, I sleep, but my heart is awake. She's in bed, but she's not asleep, in other words. She's thinking about someone. It is the voice of my beloved. And look what he does, what Solomon is going to do. He knocks saying, open to me, oh, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. Don't forget those lines, men. It says, my head is covered with dew, he says. And my locks, they're with the drops of the night. So it's at nighttime. And she says, well, I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. How can I get them dirty again or defile them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. And I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh. That's the finest myrrh you can have. And he says, my fingers dripped with myrrh, liquid myrrh, on the handles of the lock, and I opened for my beloved. But he was not there. He turned away. He was gone. And my heart leaped up when he spake, and I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave to me no answer. And the church says, amen. Turn now to Matthew's gospel, chapter 26 will be in verse 1. The title of the sermon this morning, this message, is Mary of Bethany. Say that with me, Mary of Bethany. What a great woman that she is. You know, it's important as we begin our study, when we look through Matthew about the supper at Simon's house, listen carefully. This anointing oil that Mary has, if in the Greek, every word there, the Greek word is muron, which we get our word myrrh, which is used for burial and many, many other things in the Bible, okay? But it was very expensive, and it was associated with the death and the burial of an individual. I just want to plant that one seed. Now, this incredible dinner that we're going to look at tonight, this morning, this afternoon, whatever day this is, all right? Is going to be, this event of the dinner happens between two horrible, treacherous events, okay? Verses 1 through 3, it's the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests and so forth, who want Jesus dead. And then in verses 14 through 16, we find that it's Judas who's going to betray him. So this morning, as we look at Mary at Bethany, let's keep our hearts and ears open, because I know, as well as myself, we are very familiar with this story. Amen? Okay, but let's say that we know it. Let's grow in it. Amen? Okay, so verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, meaning the Olivet Discourse, okay, the last two chapters, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is Passover. So he's even telling and predicting the very day, Friday, that he would be crucified. And the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. And then the chief priests and the scribes, the elders of the people, assembled at the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas. And look what they did. And plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. Were they passionate? Oh, man, listen. Let's deceive the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and then let's kill him. But they said, not during the feast, not during Passover week, he says, lest there be a riot or an uproar among the people. So, yeah, we're going to kill God, but let's don't mess up the holiday, okay? We don't want a riot on our hands. And so that's the vanity of man. It's no different then than it is today, thinking that they can overthrow the plan of God. You know what God does whenever a man thinks he can overflow the plan of God or stall it or whatnot? God says, okay, here's my plan. It's going to become your plan, whether you like it or not. From Acts chapter 4:25, listen carefully. It says, by the mouth of your servant David, he says this, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth, oh, they took their stand. The rulers were gathered against the Lord and his Christ. For truly, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, here it comes, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, they were all gathered together, and listen carefully, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. Amen. They were just following in the plan of God, and they didn't even know it because God knew what man was going to do. Jesus said in John 10:18, no man takes my life. I lay it down myself. This command I've received from my Father. Amen. Now, so here we are. We're about 2 miles from Jerusalem, I think east of Jerusalem, this little town of Bethany. And it's located on the slope of Mount Olive. And the house of Bethany means house of misery in Greek. Now, Bethany was the favorite hangout for our Lord. He loved going to Bethany. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, you know that they all lived there. And it was his favorite place to go. And now Jesus spends his last hours there at Bethany with a company of people. We're going to be at Simon the leper's house. Very important, because a lot of people confuse Luke 7 with the anointing. Luke 7 has nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning. There's a Simon there, but Simon is a Pharisee. This Simon is a leper. There's a woman there, but it's not Mary, and that woman is a sinner. Are you following me? Okay, so Luke 7 has nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning. But here we are in the home of Simon the leper. Remember what lepers had to do? They had to cover their mouth, be 50 paces away from the people downwind and yell, unclean, unclean. I believe, can't prove it, I believe, remember the 10 that the Lord healed, but only one came back to give thanks? I believe that's who this is. This is Simon that God has healed, that Jesus has healed. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we have the guest list of all the people that are there. Of course, there's Jesus, there's the disciples, and there's Simon, of course, the leper. And then we find precious Mary, she is serving. And of course, Lazarus, who has been dead, raised from the dead in John 11 by the Lord Jesus Christ, he's reclining at the table. He's having fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that's the only time time in history that two men would be raised from the dead, sat at the same table. Isn't that interesting? Now, and here comes Mary, verse 7. We know it's Mary because John 12:3 tells us it's Mary, okay? So look at this passionate worship. He says, Matthew just says a woman, but we know it's Mary, came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil. And look what she did with it. She poured it on his head as he sat at the table. So Mary of Bethany, Martha's busy, the disciples are fellowshipping, Lazarus is probably talking about what happened when he was in paradise, remember? And then God and the Lord raised him up and all those things. Let me ask you a question. You know, this very expensive flask of oil, this fragrant, beautiful, costly oil, do you ever wonder, she has it, Mary, why didn't she use it on her brother Lazarus when he died? You ever wonder about things like that? Okay, never mind. And I'm going, okay, and here she comes. And she comes in while the others are eating. She comes directly to Jesus. And in her hand is a very beautiful, white, slender, translucent vase or vase, if you will, that is completely sealed. And it's full of what back then it was called a Roman pound, are 12 ounces of this beautiful, incredible, fragrant, costly oil, perfume, if you will. And it's carved on the outside. She has it in her hand. And again, if once that seal is broken, it's over with. You can't reseal it, okay? It's only to be used one time. Now, whether that came from her wedding dowry, we're not told. But whatever it was very, very costly, because inside that alabaster flask, again, that spikenard, nerd, as we'll find out in a minute. Listen, it was only found in a couple of places in the whole world. India, I think, was one of them. But for sure, I know it was found only in the Himalayas of Nepal. Think about that. So this is overwhelming, unique. I mean, it's unheard of. And it was very costly. We know from the other gospels that it was, you know, we could have sold it, they said, for 300 denarii, you know, which is a year's wage for a common laborer or a soldier during that time. But what I want you to see is what Mary did. She came with that beautiful flask. She broke it. She had to break it to open it. And then she poured it out upon the head of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I see that, I see Psalm 23. Remember where it says, you prepare before me in the presence of my enemy, you know, that table and so forth. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And there she pours that upon the head of Jesus. But the thing is, she didn't stop there. We know from John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 3, let me read it to you. Listen to what she did with the rest of this beautiful perfume. It says, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled. That word in Greek is plero, filled to the brim. Every inch of that house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. I want you to see Mary. I mean, I want you to get a picture of this. She is now covered with oil too. Amen? She takes her hair though, and she's wiping his feet with the oil, his head, his whole body has been covered, our Lord, with oil. So she took it, she anointed, she wiped his feet. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot get any closer to Jesus Christ than when you are serving him and when you are worshiping him and when you are following him. So Mary at the feet of Jesus, she took the place of a common slave at that time. And there she was. He had already anointed his head and so forth. And she loosed her hair. She did something that Jewish women were really forbidden to do in public. They never did that. See, a woman's hair, according to, what is it, 1 Corinthians 11, I forget now, but the is her glory, amen? And so she loosed her hair. She just lets it down. And she takes that oil, puts it all over, and she takes her hair and starts wiping his feet, anointing it. You know what? I want you to see that. Take a picture now in your mind. Mary's there on her knees. Her hair is all wild looking. Do you understand? And she has covered the oil from head to toe now with that fragrant perfume. She's smells just like Jesus. Do you understand? She smells just like Jesus. She and Jesus, no one else in that room. She and Jesus, okay, smelled like her Savior. She identified with him in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection, just like we have. And the whole house. See, I tried to hire somebody when I was preaching this sermon to go back in the back where the return area is. And I'm saying, now, when I say the whole house was filled, I want you to drop those rose scent in the return area, and it was going to rush out and go over everybody. They wouldn't let me do it. They don't have fun. I have fun in church. Can you imagine that? That whole house filled to the brim, every square inch. It was going out the windows, out the door. People down walking by could smell it. I'm going to tell you something. There is always a supernatural, spiritual fragrant wherever Jesus is loved, wherever he is worshiped, whether it's in the home or in the church. Amen. Oh, and that's what was happening right there. And she gave to the Lord, because she loved the Lord, her most precious possession. And that was that flask of perfume. Do you know that I read a story, I think I shared this with you a few years ago, about someone said, you know that you can smell the fragrance of Jesus on people. And they told the story about a gentleman that was named Charles Waggell. He wrote that song, Remember Nobody Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus. And he was in Pasadena at a convention speaking, of course. And while he was there, he was in the main lobby, and a person asked him, said, well, have you been out into that beautiful rose garden? And he said, well, you know, he was thinking to himself. He said, so many people kept coming up and asking him. He said, I thought I was alone while I was out there. How do they know that I was out in that rose garden? And so he finally asked somebody, and here's what they said. It says, because you brought the fragrant of the roses with you. Loved one, I want you to ask you a question this morning. We're in a season called revolution. We're in a time, I don't know what it means. I can only declare to you, I'm not trying to define it. The Lord will define it as we move into 2022, 23, and 24, like we've already talked. But Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, I mean, what do we smell like? You ever ask, you know what I mean? What does our worship smell like to the Lord? What does our walk smell like to the Lord? What does our prayer time really smell like to the Lord Jesus Christ? Man, I tell you, you know, Mary, she was at the feet of Jesus, and the more that we sit at the feet of Jesus, which is at the throne of grace, loved one, you know what? We become like his fragrance, because we're changing from glory to glory to glory. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph or in victory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that verse? No matter how you feel, even right now, no matter what you're going through today, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you say, well, Bill, I'm down. I lost my job. Whatever could be in your life. I'm telling you, if God is leading you, he is always leading you in victory, because you are in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Amen. He always does it. That word always is a big word. But listen to what he says. He says, and through us, through the church at Calvary, there at Corinth even, through us diffuses or spreads the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, like a perfume that goes around the world. Here it comes. For we are, present tense, right this minute, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Does that blow you away? We smell like Jesus. Do you understand that? I think Phillips translated it the unmistakable scent of Christ. That is who we are. He says, we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. That's a revolution right there, loved one. Listen, it is time. Remember what the revolution, what we said? From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God, it suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. They seize it as a prize. In other words, because we belong to the kingdom. Amen? Man, it's time. Listen, if we are, and the Bible cannot lie, if we are truly the fragrance of Christ, don't you know it's time to stink up your office? Huh? Isn't it time to stink up your school a little bit, or your college? Amen? Isn't it time to really start stinking? But it's such a great fragrance. You know? That's who we are. Listen, this city that we're in, this world that we're in, it stinks. But we don't. Oh, God, right now, He sees us. In Christ, He goes, oh, you're the unmistakable scent of my Son. We are the fragrance of Christ to this world, loved one. Believe what God says about you. Look at verse 8. But when His disciples saw it, or when they saw what Mary was doing, they saw this thing happening, they were joyful. Oh, they were indignant. And look what they said. Why this waste? Phillips' translation I like better. What is the point of such wicked waste? Oh, what a word. For the fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. You know, Mark's gospel adds and said, and they criticized Mary sharply. Let me tell you something. Might have been given to the poor. Was Jesus poor? Yes. You better believe that. Listen to me. He had to borrow a tomb. Palm Sunday, he even had to borrow a donkey. Do you understand? To ride into Jerusalem. When he died, what did he have? He had just his cloak and a seamless garment. That's all Jesus had. The Bible tells us about our Lord. It says that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Oh, listen. Jesus took, when he came, he took the lowest place. He became a bond servant, the lowest place on the social ladder for you and for me. Amen? But they didn't see it that way. Mary did, but the rest didn't. See, Mary, oh, when the disciples saw what Mary had done, they were not inspired to say, oh, Mary, let's do this. Oh, let's all of us go over there. No, they were indignant. That word indignant in the Greek means they were very much pained. They were mentally oppressed in their mind, and they were grieved in their hearts. Here's my question. How is it that the 12 felt that way? How is it that they looked at what Mary was doing to Jesus, walking over while they were eating at the table, reclining at the table? And there they were. They were all watching her. She gets up, they're eating, and she comes right over to the Lord and pours that oil on his head, gets down on her knees, pours it all over his feet, takes down her hair, wiping her feet, loving him and worshiping him. How did they even begin to think that that was a waste? In Philip's translation, again, a wicked waste. I can tell you why. There was one there who said it. One. Let me give you the scripture. Matter of fact, it's John 12:4. You want to listen to Judas? Here are the very first words ever recorded in the Gospels by him. John 12:4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, he's at this dinner in John 12, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii, remember, a whole year's wage, and given to the poor? But this he said, not that he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Isn't that a tragic? Can you imagine traveling with Jesus and ripping off the money that people gave? I knew a kid one time, just a true story, a kid that I went to school with in elementary school, and one day he took me to his church. I never went back after that, but one day I went to his church, big church. You know, I'm talking about the big columns out front and all that, you know, and it said first something on the front. I don't know what it said. And so they're taking up the offering, and you know, the money bags come by. So he has his money, and I'm sitting beside him paying. I said, well, that's really great. That this, he's putting money in there. So he puts in a dollar and pulls out a 20. I'm not kidding. I moved down about 10 seats from that person. I didn't even believe in God, but I figured God was going to kill him for that. You know what I mean? No. And I looked, and I said, dear Lord, you know, see, it's amazing how quickly that mind of Judas, he calculated the value of that spikenard, but he did not calculate at all of the value of Jesus Christ. You know why? He loved money, but Mary loved Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Wicked waste. Here's what Judas was saying. Jesus, you're not worth it. Isn't that a tragic thing? Jesus, you're just not worth it. The poor, they're more valuable than you. It's amazing, Mary of Bethany, who is always found in Scripture at the feet of Jesus. They said to her, or he said to her, maybe all the disciples, I'm not sure, we know Judas for sure, said, what you just did was wicked. Have you ever noticed that Mary of Bethany is always being rebuked in Scripture? She was rebuked by her sister Martha for sitting at the feet of Jesus and not getting up and helping her serve. She's rebuked by the disciples here. Mary, you're wasting that precious oil on worshiping Jesus. But you know what? Jesus never rebuked her. Amen? No. There's much need, so we'll understand what was being said there. There is much need today in the world of the poor. Amen? But here's the problem. The world, the majority of the world, and the people like Judas, they're kind of thinking the majority of a world would agree that it's a waste to give anything to the spiritual. To the social? Oh, yeah, but not to the spiritual. Don't give anything to God. Don't do that at all. But these social programs, oh, yes, well, they really help the poor. Here's what I know. Our tax dollars go to many social programs, don't they? And are a lot of them abused? Are they ripped off? Yes. In other words, I'm helping the poor while I'm helping myself. Yeah. Is giving to the poor a very serious thing? Absolutely. The great commandment. This is one of our vision statements for this church, of the three commandments that this church is built on. But the great commandment, to love the Lord thy God, all heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And the next one is just as strong, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us a lot about giving to the poor. And do you know what? We do give to the poor here. Proverbs 19:17, that's the scripture that is for the Love Never Fails, our public Christian charity that takes care of all the children there down in Mexico where we have our work. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:17, he who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God. God will pay back what has been given. Amen? And that scripture has built that charity. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. And then John, the apostle of love, writes in 1 John 3:17, whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Well, loved one, that doesn't mean that we just give who has a need. We have to make sure we're not enabling them to stay where they're staying. Amen? Okay. Now, so there is a higher calling than giving unto the poor, and that is worshiping our first love, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. Nothing you do for Jesus, I mean nothing you do for Jesus, will ever be called waste by Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, working for Christ, knowing that your labor is not in vain, not wasted in the Lord. No, Jesus knows. Amen. Now look at verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, They were indignant, saying, why this waste or this wicked waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? Mark's gospel, I love what Jesus said. Leave her alone. Don't you love the Lord? Why do you trouble her? For she has done a good work for me. Or literally, she has done a beautiful thing for me. Did you notice that all that Mary was going through, while the disciples and Simon and Lazarus sat over there at that table eating and did nothing, Mary was worshiping the Lord. Amen? And listen, immediately Jesus defended her. I mean, immediately. He uses a word in the Greek. He says, why do you trouble her? Meaning, literally, why are you trying to embarrass Mary? Why are you trying to make her feel horrible for what she has done? This is a beautiful thing that she has done for me. And here's the problem. Everyone in Simon the leper's home, they all smelled now like Jesus, but they didn't act like Jesus. Amen? They all smelled like Mary, but they didn't love and worship like Mary. And look at verse 11. For you have the poor with you always. In other words, you're going to have many opportunities when I'm gone, but me you do not have always. So what is Jesus saying? Man, listen, express your love now. We should say that one to another. Express your love now. And you know what our problem is? It is our problem. Is that, you see, some of you are sitting here, and I'm not being critical at all, but you might be mentally thinking about tomorrow. Well, you don't have tomorrow. And the problem is that if we don't live today, then we're trying to live in tomorrow, and tomorrow is not here, and we miss today. Does that make sense? We must learn, like what Jesus just said, express your love today. Express your love one to another today. If you have aught and all that stupid nonsense, get rid of it. Amen? You don't have time to waste your life like that. Listen, enjoy your day. Enjoy your day. This morning when I got up, it was 4 o'clock this morning, and man, the birds were not yet talking, you know? They have more sense to sleep late. Hello? You know, but the door is all open, and I had my coffee. You know, I'm praying, and I'm also thinking, oh, Lord, how do I change this message? Because I don't know where in the world you're taking me in the church today. I said, they might stone me when it's over, Lord, help me. And I started thinking about today or the next day, and I went, no, I'm going to enjoy my day because I might not enjoy it tomorrow. I might not be here. You might not be here. Are you following me? Oh, Jesus said, express your love today, not only for the Lord, but for one another, for your family, for your friends and whatnot. Because he says, in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Isn't that amazing? Out of all the women ever born, God allowed one woman. Now, he was anointed before by women, but not for burial. You follow me? Only Mary. So over and over and over again, he told his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die by crucifixion. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be raised the third day. And they never got it. Mary got it. And you know why Mary got it? You know why she came to anoint him for burial? Because Jesus had been telling them, I'm going to Jerusalem. And he goes, okay. She had it at her house the whole time. That's why she didn't use it for Lazarus. Does that make sense? She kept it there. She said, this is a special. This is all I have. This is the most expensive thing I have. This is extravagant worship and extravagant love. I'm taking it and I'm holding it because I know Jesus said he's going to go to Jerusalem one day. And when he does, I'm going to anoint him. I want to show him how much I love him and I want to anoint him for burial. The disciples didn't get it. They did not understand. Later, Jesus had to open their understanding so they would believe. Amen? But they did not get it. I'm going to tell you something. Something happens when you passionately stay at the feet of Jesus, at the throne of grace. Something happens when you go there and you worship. I love Mark's gospel, chapter 14, verse 8, what Jesus said about this whole scene there. And she looked at Mary and she looked at the disciples, and Jesus said this, she has done what she could. Isn't that a great, you know, she's done what she could. What have you done? He's looking at the guys. Do you follow me? She's done what she could. She's anointed my body for burial. Someone said this about when Jesus said she has done what she could. Someone said, well, she couldn't fight off the soldiers from Jesus. She couldn't influence Pilate to release Jesus. She couldn't carry the cross for Jesus. She couldn't take those nails from him or for him. She didn't have a tomb even to offer him, but she has done what she could. She brought a small 12-ounce unsealed or sealed bottle of ointment and oil and perfume, if you will, worth a year's wage, and she poured it out upon the Lord. What do we do? What about us? Can I tell you something? In the eyes of Judas, in the eyes of the world, what Mary did was called wicked waste. But in the eyes of Jesus, oh, it wasn't called that. Look at verse 13. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel, wherever the good news is preached in the whole world, think about that, in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. In other words, in memory of her. And here I am 2,000 years later, and I'm telling you this great true story about Mary of Bethany. And here's what's so cool. Did Mary hear the words of Jesus? Oh, you know she did. Mary, what you have done for me. I bet you Jesus looked her right in the eyes and said, Mary, what you have done for me will never, ever be forgotten. Matter of fact, the whole world in every generation, they will hear the story of what you did for me. And let me tell you that the story of Mary of Bethany has been written and spoken out in 1,000 languages, hasn't it? There's over 7,000 languages in the world. And I just said 1,000, maybe 5,000. You follow what I mean? All that Jesus has done. Listen, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? If Jesus is not here, if Jesus is not real, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what are we doing here? Amen. But Jesus is here and Jesus is alive. Amen. He has risen from the dead. It's all about Jesus. It's all about our love for Jesus. Listen carefully now. If you do ministry or anything for Jesus, if you do your ministry, your serving or giving or whatever, even giving to the poor, it must always be done with the right motive and done for the right reason. And that is one thing. It is out of your love for Jesus. If it's not, you have walked away from your first love. Listen, anytime the thought comes into my mind, say, Bill, you're old now. Why don't you take a break? And I think about that more now than I ever have. But then I say, well, I'm not really serving. I am serving you, but I'm not. I'm serving him. Amen. I'm loving you, but I'm serving him. He's the one who tells me what to quit and when not. Does that make sense? See, what we do, I mean, don't get involved with wrong motives. It's not going to be blessed. Just do what God says in his word out of our love. You know, I want us to smell like Jesus, don't you? Listen, Jess Moody said this, people choose a church with their noses. They can smell the joy. You know what? I pray when people come here or to our share groups or any of the ministries that we have, I pray that they walk in and they go, what is that? Oh, that's Liz's cooking. No, that's good. No, they go, that smells like a bunch of men and women that love Jesus. Whoa, that worship. Ooh, it has an odor. I like it. Are you with me? See, I pray when they walk in, they go, oh, what is this? Oh, the fragrance of heaven is here. That's what I pray for us. You know the story about Mary of Bethany just as well as I do. She was seen, the time that she is seen in Scripture, in the Gospel, she's always found sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen? And did you know that every time that she is found sitting at the feet of Jesus, there's always a fragrance? I'll let you go through the Bible and find those, all right? Always a fragrance. You know, listen, we are in revolution. And there's only one thing that is needed. And whenever Jesus came to Mary's house to eat, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, remember in Luke chapter 10, and Martha got all upset. Oh, went over to the Lord. Lord, tell her to get off listening to you talking. I'm in here serving all these crummy disciples of yours. I'm serving them dinner. Mary, tell her to get up and help me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Martha, Martha. You're a beauty queen, you know. You are troubled and worried about so many things. But Mary, she has chosen. Mary, she has chosen the best part that will never be taken away from her. Loved one, listen, I thank you. Oh, Mary, thank you. What a great example in the Bible. Listen to me. I preached a sermon a couple of years ago, and I said this, right priorities will not choose you. You have to choose them. Do you understand? You have to choose like Mary did. I'm at his feet. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to be at the feet of the Lord, and what I've done is going to last forever. Listen, Jesus said, I'll never forget, Mary, what you've done for me and the whole world to know it. I'm going to ask you a question. What about us, the things that we do? Does Jesus forget those things when we serve him? No, listen, did you know that God made Mary's work perpetual, but he also makes ours the same? Let me read it to you. It says in Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work, your labor of work. He doesn't go, I'm not going to forget. Oh, I'll never forget what you do for me. He says, you've shown toward his name that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. I don't know what y'all do. I can't see what they're doing in the kids' church. You know, I passed through the main lobby, and Ernest is out there putting up the umbrellas at the courtyard. And I went, how cool is that? Now, I didn't know that he was doing that, but it's needed. Does that make sense? But he didn't do it for me. He did it for Jesus. Do you understand? Jesus, I'm going to forget that. But Jesus said, I'll never forget it. You can give a cold glass of water to one of my little ones and I'll never forget it. What you do for Jesus carries the greatest fragrance there is, the fragrance of Christ Jesus, our Lord. What will be the memorial for this church? What will be the memorial for you? See, Mary gave her heart, all of herself to the Lord. It wasn't the size of her gift, it was the size of her heart, amen? Because she loved the Lord. You know, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, but it's more than fragrance. See, they had something that sometimes I think we were missing. And this is all really what I wanted to tell you this morning as we come to the end of this message. And that is this, they had the fragrance in the room. We may have the fragrance of Christ here, amen? But I don't, no, but I want his presence. Did Mary have his presence? Yes, she did. Now turn in your Bibles and let's conclude this morning with the Song of Solomon 5:2. I want to show you something. Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 2. Here it comes. The Shulamite, she says, now they're married, okay? But it's also a picture of Christ and his church, all right? Not just Solomon and his bride. So the Shulamite, she says, oh, I sleep, but my heart is awake. Meaning she's thinking about good old Solomon, okay? It is the voice of my beloved. She hears his voice. And listen, what does he do? He knocks saying, open for me, my sister. Open for me, my love. Open for me, I'm the head of the church. You're the bride of Christ. Are you with me? Open, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with drops of the night. You know what he's saying? Same thing the Lord is saying. He wants fellowship with you and me. if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and we have fellowship one with another. Amen? Loved one, listen, he says, I want fellowship. Now look what she says to her husband. Hey, I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? That's really kind of hello. The same way you took it off, you put it back on. I mean, I've washed my feet. I've taken a bath. How can I defile them? How can I get my feet all dirty again? I'm in bed. But now she's going to change her mind. My beloved, look what he did. I'm talking about Jesus right now. He put his hand by the latch of the door, the opening. No doubt it was locked. She didn't get up. She didn't open it. And my heart yearned for him. She started thinking him about it now. And look what she did. Okay, she's finally going to get up. Oh, I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with what? There it is, the myrrh, the same root word for what we were studying. That incredible myrrh found all. Go study Exodus, how God, Lord, that you're talking about, how loves us, the spices and the myrrhs and the frankincense, and how he tells you, you use this and this and this. I want this kind of aroma. He says, my hands, she said, they're dripping with myrrh, and my fingers with the most expensive part, with this liquid myrrh. Liquid myrrh only stays liquid for just a little while, then it gets hard. And she's just dripping with her hands and from the locks on the door. And she goes, oh, wow. And it says, on the handles of the lock. So where'd that come from? It came from Solomon. He said, I love you. Why aren't you opening for me? Why are you settling for just fragrance? Why are you settling for just a little touch from me? And he leaves that myrrh like a stick note, like a love letter, if you will, saying, I love you. He says, I opened for my beloved, but my beloved turned away. He was gone, and my heart leaped up, and he spake. I sought him. I couldn't find him. I even called. But he gave me no answer. We are in a season. I cannot define it. I can only declare it. Loved one, we are in a revolution, which means that we are a church, and everything that we do now must revolve around Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Amen? Jesus is knocking. He says, open the door. I just want you to open. If the door is not open, it means it's locked. Amen? He's outside. And then all of a sudden, Solomon, he quit knocking. And sometimes Jesus quits knocking on our hearts. Did you know that? Why is it that the Church of America, we've become lazy? Come on. I don't mean that. I love the church. I love Christians. I love you. But I look and I say, oh, Lord, I mean, why are we asleep? We have to wake up. Do we say that the cost of sitting at the feet of Jesus, the cost of intimacy is just too high? Or is it inconvenient? I don't have the time. Or is it apathy? I mean, are all of those things? And so are we the type of people? And we can't be right now. Listen, we can't lie in bed and Jesus is knocking, saying, open up. I've got to talk to you right now. And you go, well, listen, man, I'm in bed. I've got my rollers in my hair. Not men, women, you know, and my feet are clean and, you know, my nails are drying and not mine. And so we don't respond immediately to the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what we do? We settle for a fragrance. Oh, Jesus was here. I missed him. Oh, but I know he's gone, but I was just too slow to act. But his fragrance, you know. You know, listen to me. If we're living off his fragrance, that means this. That we are now not living with his presence like we should, but just the fragrance. Yeah. I just know the Lord is here, but I didn't enter in. Are you all following me? I say, oh, Lord, you know, he's knocking on this church. And we have to ask ourselves a question. Do we want just fragrance? or presence? I say, why not both? Amen? Why not both? Let's finish this. I'm going to finish these last two verses. And in Matthew, and then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. It says, he went to the chief priest, said, what are you willing to give me that I deliver Jesus to you? And they counted out 30 pieces of silver. You know that's the price of a slave from Exodus 21:32. And it's also a prophecy from Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 through 13. Judas and Mary, they are extreme opposites. Mary's costly, extravagant love for Jesus. Judas's costly, extravagant love was only for money. Verse 16, so from that time on, he sought opportunity to betray Jesus. And that opportunity, as we know, came very quickly. Amen. Given the greatest opportunity in the world, and he blew it. Now listen, if you don't know Christ this morning, and I know I've gone long with you guys, but sometimes we just need to go long. Is that okay?
Amen.
You know, if you don't know Christ, let's just bow our heads. Listen, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, now is the time to do it. He is knocking, and all you have to do is open the door. If not, you're saying there's a price, like Judas. Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. If you don't know the Lord, listen. Jesus said it'd be better for that man to have never been born. If Jesus is not your Lord, you don't have to come down here, but you do have to do something. And that is, you have to just lift your hand and say, Bill, Jesus is not my Lord. I've never asked him to come into my heart, and I want to be saved. Just lift your hand high and put it down. We will pray for you. Again, you don't have to come to the altar. Just lift your hand. Anyone at all before I pray? Well, Father, I assume in our early service, and I pray so, that all are saved. Lord, I pray that you this morning, the things that I said, if they're not supposed to remain in the heart of these believers, your sheep, then let it fall out. But the things that I did say that came from you, let them remain in their heart. Lord, we want, yes, your fragrance, but we want to actually live in your manifest presence, where we know it's a fact, but where we sense it and know it. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? If you're visiting for the very first time, I'm departing over to the Welcome Center, the Visitor Center there. They have a free gift. They'd love to give it to you. I'd love to meet you as well. If you need prayer, then after Jesse closes us out, there'll be people down here to pray with you as well. The Lord bless you guys. Love you.